Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov. Narrated by Nuro Salma. For Swarm. Lolita, light of my life, fire of my loins. My sin, my soul. Lolita, the tip of the tongue taking a trip of 3 steps down the palate to tap, at 3, on the teeth. Lo. Li. Ta. She was low, plain low, in the morning, standing 4 feet 10 in 1 sock. She was Lola in slacks. She was Dolly at school. She was Dolores on the dotted line. But in my arms she was always Lolita. Did she have a precursor? She did, indeed she did. In point of fact, there might have been no Lolita at all had I not loved, one summer, a certain initial girl child. In a princedom by the sea. Oh, when. About as many years before Lolita was born as my age was that summer. You can always count on a murderer for a fancy prose style. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit number 1 is what the serifs, the misinformed, simple, noble-winged serifs, envied. Look at this tangle of thorns. I was born in 1910, in Paris. My father was a gentle, easygoing person, a salad of racial genes, a Swiss citizen, of mixed French and Austrian descent, with a dash of the Danube in his veins. I am going to pass around in a minute some lovely, glossy blue picture postcards. He owned a luxurious hotel on the Riviera. His father and 2 grandfathers had sold wine, jewels and silk, respectively. At 30 he married an English girl, daughter of Jerome Dunn, the alpinist, and granddaughter of 2 Dorset Parsons, experts in obscure subjects paleopedology and Aeolian harps, respectively. My very photogenic mother died in a freak accident, picnic, lightning, when I was 3, and, save for a pocket of warmth in the darkest past, nothing of her subsists within the hollows and dells of memory, over which, if you can still stand my style, I am writing under observation. The sun of my infancy had set, surely, you all know those redolent remnants of day suspended, with the midges, about some hedge in bloom or suddenly entered and traversed by the rambler, at the bottom of a hill, in the summer dusk, a furry warmth, golden midges. My mother's elder sister, Sybil, whom a cousin of my father's had married and then neglected, served in my immediate family as a kind of unpaid governess and housekeeper. Somebody told me later that she had been in love with my father, and that he had lightheartedly taken advantage of it one rainy day and forgotten it by the time the weather cleared. I was extremely fond of her, despite the rigidity, the fatal rigidity of some of her rules. Perhaps she wanted to make of me, in the fullness of time, a better widower than my father. Aunt Sybil had pink-rimmed azure eyes and a waxen complexion. She wrote poetry. She was poetically superstitious. She said she knew she would die soon after my 16th birthday, and did. Her husband, a great traveler in perfumes, spent most of his time in America, where eventually he founded a firm and acquired a bit of real estate. I grew a happy, healthy child in a bright wood of illustrated books, clean sand, orange trees, friendly dogs, sea vistas, and smiling faces. Around me the splendid Hotel Marana revolved as a kind of private universe, a whitewashed cosmos within the blue greater one that blazed outside. From the apron pot scrubber to the flanneled potentate, everybody liked me, everybody petted me. Elderly American ladies leaning on their canes listed towards me like towers of Pisa. Ruined Russian princesses who could not pay my father, bought me expensive bonbons. He, mon cher petit papa, took me out boating and biking, taught me to swim and dive and water ski, read to me Don Quixote and Les Miserables, and I adored and respected him and felt glad for him whenever I overheard the servants discuss his various lady friends, beautiful and kind beings who made much of me and cooed and shed precious tears over my cheerful motherlessness. I attended an English day school a few miles from home, and there I played rackets and fives, and got excellent marks, and was on perfect terms with schoolmates and teachers alike.